Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. It's only August, but already it's been one of the more active hurricane seasons. So what does that mean for the rest of the season that runs until December? We talk about that and about earthquakes coming up later in the program. But first, the biggest story of the year impacts a woman whose job it is to report on the news that affects your life. WBTV's news anchor Molly Grantham, her husband Wes, their 9-year-old daughter Parker, their 5-year-old son Hutch, and their newborn infant Hobie all contracted COVID-19. Now, it sounds like a nightmare, but all of them have recovered and all of them have a story to tell. Normally, news reporters don't like to become part of the story, but in this case, Molly is using her experience and that of her family as an opportunity to educate people about the virus and its impact. And Molly Grantham joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. I'm glad you said we're going to be okay, because that's the main thing. When you say our family has COVID, you know, people are very worried. We are, thank God, going to be okay.
That was going to be my first question. You look a little sleepy, but then you're cradling in your arms your son, Hobie. How old is Hobie. He right now?
He was born July 14th. So what is that? A month on Friday?
Wow. Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So
thank you. He's sleepy. He's a sleepy baby. I don't know if that's been COVID or just luck, but either way, it's good.
Better than that than a crying baby during a radio interview.
Yeah.
US, but,
right.
You've been reporting on COVID-19 since March when this whole story broke out, and you probably know as much about this virus as any non-medical layperson could possibly know about this virus, and still, your entire family came down with COVID-19. And the first, I think, person in your family was your 9-year-old. Is that correct, Parker?
Yes, my daughter. 9-year-old daughter.
Do you know yet how she contracted the virus?
No, I don't. We had gone into the hospital, my husband and I, to have Hobie. Mm-hmm. They test me when I go in to get labor. So I was negative. They assume the person you're bringing is negative that you live with. So we were fine. And his parents, my in-laws, drove in from out of state to watch the other two kids, because you can't have visitors. Obviously, it's a very different world in hospitals with the modifications in this time we're in. So they drove in, they tested themselves in Kentucky before they came in. They were both negative. They were very careful. They're in a high-risk group simply because of age, grandparents' age. And stopped at a couple rest stops on the way, you know, as you would drive a 9-hour drive. And we assume my mother-in-law got it from a gas station or something. I've heard cases of it just being airborne. My husband went to the cafeteria in the hospital twice in our 2 days there. So he thinks maybe he could have gotten it there. Hospitals are exposure points, as careful as they are. So we just don't know.
Yeah.
I just know the 9-year-old was the first one that got sick. And my mother-in-law got sick about the same time, and we had just gotten home, so they abruptly left back for Kentucky, just being cautious.
And what is interesting about this, and also very scary to me, is that every single person in your family who got this exhibited different symptoms. Parker
right.
complained of a sore throat in the morning, and by night she was really sick by night.
Really sick. I think that was one of the main crazy things. You know, you mentioned I've been reporting this since March, as have you, and yet I learned so many lessons. You know, I feel like we know so much about this, talking about it every day, and yet I didn't realize an entire family could have completely different symptoms. I knew children could get it. There have been some cases. I didn't know children could get very sick on it, and thank God nobody went back into the hospital for my family. But that night she had sweating out, like just hair matted to her forehead, came into our room. And that morning she'd said sore throat and ears popping when she swallowed, like allergy, North Carolina allergy symptoms. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when she came in, I mean, she does not have allergies. She does not get huge fevers. And she was just sweating, sleeping on the carpet with us with her arm wrapped around a bowl because she felt nauseous. And she just was like, kind of couldn't sleep and writhing around and just that sweat hotty thing, you know, that you get. And as an adult, you can sort of handle better, but as a 9-year-old, you're scared to death. And thank God by the morning, her fever broke. And I was up with Hobie and her, because he was 4 days old at the time, and trying to keep the newborn away from her. And she'd already been tested that morning. I had gone to the pediatrician with Hobie for his first appointment. And so I took the other two kids out of an extreme caution because she'd already said, oh, I've got a sore throat. And I had all those fears from COVID in my head from just coming out of the hospital. So I kind of knew that night. I just sort of knew, you know, like mother intuition. You just knew she does not sweat like that. And the fever thing is what we've all heard about COVID. And I just knew she had it. And she
so
got tested.
You took the whole family. The whole family got tested over time, and I think that, as you just said, you took the other two children in to have them tested the very next day. How long did it take the tests to come back?
4 days, 5 days, maybe
so
on them.
Did they exhibit symptoms prior to the tests coming back?
Parker had those symptoms in between being tested and then the test coming back.
Okay.
Hutch did not. His symptoms came a week after getting tested.
Wow.
Which the pediatrician said that can happen. That's what's so crazy. That's one of the other things I learned. You know, I knew it wasn't the flu. Mm-hmm. I knew it was a different virus than our world is used to. I didn't get the incubation period being such a huge factor. And it is. So you can be out there and about. Parker had it. We didn't know she had it. She had no symptoms until the sore throat. But before she had the sore throat, she was around a couple friends. We've been very, very careful our whole 4 months, but we've let a couple friends and her play just for socialization for, you know, a rising fourth grader. And we had to immediately call them. They all got tested. Thank God they were negative. But you start realizing this incubation thing when you don't even know you have it is how it spreads so fast.
Yeah. It's interesting. You mentioned that Parker had what looked like allergies and a fever and was sweating profusely and nauseated, although she never vomited. But then nope. Wes, your husband, had I think no taste, no smell.
No taste, no smell. His factors came in the night after Parker was really sick. And, you know, no taste, no smell, you know it's COVID. That's such a distinct symptom. And he was very lethargic, very, very tired. And then a week later, Hutch had the symptoms, my five-year-old. And his was just like a low-grade fever and sort of a cough, like kids' Tylenol you would think would kick it, but it wasn't. And I just had body aches and a pounding headache and really just sore. It was kind of tough breathing when I went up the steps, which I'm a healthy person. That's not normal. However, remember, I just had a baby. So I just thought it was being tired and exhausted and postpartum, you know, like body aches is nothing new if you have a baby. So I ignored my symptoms for too long and then realized I had it. And by that point, I actually also had pneumonia. I did chest x-rays.
You've had news outlets, WBTV reported on you, The Observer reported on you, you've been blogging about this. And one of the things that I read in your blog, which I think you want to talk about and I think should be talked about, is that you wanted to stress that children are not immune and we're about to go back to school.
Right.
What would you like to tell parents about this?
Well, that you just said it, children are not immune. Children are not immune. I don't know where exactly I fall on the school thing. I completely understand the concern in going back more than ever now. Personally, Parker spread it to our family. You know, children get it and can bring it home. I fear for teachers and staff. I understand their concerns. I also understand that I have a rising kindergartner. I don't know how he's supposed to learn online. He can't even read. And the socialization that you're not going to get is really scary for them long term. But children are not immune. And so at the end of the day, out of safety, I don't think my kids should be necessarily in this huge typical school. I know there'd be changes. I don't know, Mike. I just think that a lot of families did not think kids could get it. A lot. I mean, I've been reporting on this day in, day out, and I knew it was out there and I knew kids could get it, but I didn't realize just how susceptible and how sick they could get. And since I've written about it, other families have shown me pictures of their kids in hospitals on breathing ventilators, babies, you know, it is rare for kids. It is not as common as the older you get, but it doesn't mean it can't hit you. And you don't know how it's going to hit you or your family if you get exposed.
Your son, who's in your arms right now as we speak, about a month old now, I guess, close to a month old, he is the youngest person tested in Mecklenburg County for the virus and the youngest, you said, presumptively positive case. Why presumptively positive? Has he exhibited any symptoms?
he had congestion, which they said could be a symptom. I mean, they just don't have a lot of scientific data on newborns. A lot of it was anecdotal. When I got him tested, he was 10 days old. And at that time, the health department in Mecklenburg County told me he was the youngest case being tested. I don't know if that's different now. And his rapid test came back negative. And so the nurse said, okay, well, the rapid test has this percentage of error. It could have been a bad swab, whatever. A hutch actually came back as negative, and he definitely had it. The pediatrician said he had all the stuff later. So they said, assume that he's positive. It's a presumptively positive case. His entire family has it. He's been, you know, literally his diet was mine. So everything you've had, he's had. And assume that he has it. And he did have the congestion more so than most newborns, but his breathing was okay. Supposedly, I didn't really know what to look for. And that's the other thing. They told me to go home and check his breathing, make sure his stomach was going up and down toward the rib cage, not in and out. And if it was in and out, to go immediately to the ER. So all night long, I'm like staring at this, you know, 10, 11, 12 day old, not even knowing what I'm looking for, really. I'm not a medical expert, just trying to see an 8 pound baby stomach and see how it, how it moves.
Yeah, one of the things we've been talking about since March, about how if you get this virus and you're in a family setting, that you need to quarantine yourself. If you get it, you need to wall yourself off someplace in the house and have people bring food to you, but don't touch you, don't open the door when you're... Well, you had to quarantine everybody in your house. How did that work out?
Not so well. I mean, we could quarantine the five of us within our four walls, but at one point before we knew I had it, and so we were assuming Hobie didn't have it, we knew Wes and the two other kids had it. So the doctor was saying, well, try and have them in one part of the house and you and Hobie in the other for the next 2 weeks. And I mean, that's, I can't parent through walls. They're 9 and 5. My husband's actually remotely working from home every day, all day, you know, so he can't really parent them because he's on calls in a home office. It's just, it was just not realistic. And after a couple hours, literally it was like 12 hours, and I called the pediatrician. I was like, so this isn't going to work. Like, that's just not going to work in any way, shape, or form. I can't get them lunch. Someone needs to talk to them. They have no parenting at this point. So what's the next best plan? And she said, everybody wears masks in the house all day.
And in fact, by then, hadn't everybody come down with it? So if everybody has it, does it matter whether you quarantine, or do you know?
So at that point, I hadn't. Well, I knew I didn't know I had it. I just thought all my symptoms were having a baby. 2 days after that, I ended up getting tested, and rapid tests. The nurse practitioner at a drive-through clinic on Freedom Drive, I just showed up, and she heard one bit of my story, and she heard me as coughing as I was talking to her. And she was like, you need to get a rapid test, and we're giving a chest x-ray. And that's when they found nodules on my lung. I mean, but at the time when I first talked to the pediatrician and said, I can't do this, quarantining half of us in one part of the house, half in the other, she had said, you know, just wear masks.
We have about a minute left. As a news anchor, you're supposed to be dispassionate about the stories you report on. You're supposed to be objective about them. About this disease, however, you wrote, quote, this is not a made-up fictitious illness meant to be politicized. You can have an opinion on how it should be handled, but don't fool yourself into thinking it's not real. It's real. What do you think it will take for some people to have that sink in 30 seconds?
Hopefully reading that blog, hopefully hearing this story, hopefully listening to you. I mean, I'm a really fair reporter. I am not a biased reporter. I experienced this. I watched my newborn overnight. I was scared to death watching my 9-year-old sweat it out. I've lived it myself. I have pneumonia. It's real. So have any opinion you want on how it's being handled, but don't try and tell people it's made up and fake. It's not.
And you stress this is not a flu. So wear masks. Molly Grantham, WBTV news anchor whose entire family got this COVID-19 thing. I hope you stay well and hope that you're done with the worst of it by now. Thanks for joining us. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.